Back to the bus lane, Roy. Many of you were vexed about it on this show last week. The Department for Infrastructure has launched a consultation about allowing almost all taxis to use the bus lanes for 6 months or possibly 12 months. If you think that that consultation is going to influence the department, well, diddly squat. They've decided they're going to do it anyway. They say the department's intention is to proceed with this trial. However, it will assess and consider all representations received in response to the consultation. What does this mean? The commentator and keen cyclist Malachy O'Doherty and taxi driver Ken Kelly with us this morning. Morning, Malachy.
Morning, Stephen. Morning
to you, Ken. Morning, Ken.
Morning, Stephen. Morning, Malachy.
So why is a department which is supposed to be neutral having the intention to proceed with it? If they're consulting with the public, why is it loaded against those members of the public, Malachy, who might be against taxis using the trial?
Well, it's not even supposed to be neutral. It's supposed to be supporting a government policy, which goes back some way now, which is to encourage the free use of bicycles in the city, to promote the greening of the city and the growth of health in the city. We had a minister, Danny Kennedy, who was very, very strong in this a few years ago. The clear policy of government at national and in local level is to promote cycling, is to promote a greener city, is to promote a healthier city, and to do that through the use of cycle lanes and for a period of time allowing bicycles to use bus lanes. That's a good policy. If you say at some point that you're going to let taxis use bus lanes as well, then you're flying in the face of your own policy. You're contradicting the objectives that you set out. So I think this is some kind of insanity has overtaken this policy. If you have a policy in place and you want to change the character of a city, and then you start making exceptions for taxis to let them into bus lanes, who are you going to make the next exception for? When are you going to end up losing the whole advantage of having a clear space that buses and bicycles can use? So yes, you say they should be neutral. I don't think they even should be neutral. I think they should have stuck by the policy and vision that they had at the start of all this.
Ken?
Well, really what you're saying is, Malachy, and I find it more of a point of information.
Yeah,
what UK city has bus lanes that don't share? I mean, where taxis and bicycles use the bus lanes. I can't find a major city, London, Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, that the lanes are not co-ownership, so to speak, amongst public transport services. And it comes down to the fact, is a taxi part of the public transport system? Now, as I said, take those four major cities, they all have bus lanes that bicycles, and in some cases, now I do understand London has separate bicycle lanes, but most of them have shared lanes where taxis, bicycles and buses use. Tell me what city doesn't include taxis in their bus lanes.
Well, you say the taxi is part of the public transport provision. It's not. It's a private enterprise. It's you're running a business. You're running taxis to make a profit for yourself.
I don't accept that.
You don't accept it. You don't accept.
I don't accept that we're not part. Sorry, I rephrase that.
You're certainly part of.
We're not part of the transport system.
You're certainly part of the general provision of transport. The public sees you as a resource. I'm not arguing with that at all. But what I'm saying is that if you have designed a system in the city where you will have a special lane, which will be for the use of buses and bicycles, and you've set objectives in mind, and those objectives are to reduce emissions in the city, to make the city environment healthier, and to ease the flow of traffic for people who are using sustainable forms of energy, sustainable forms of transport. And then you say, having done that, because that's what you want to do, that you're going to then let taxis into those bus lanes and contradict your own policy.
If I could just cut into it.
Yeah, go ahead,
Ken. Accepting the point you have made, tell me what city doesn't include the taxis as part of the transport system. Irrelevant whether they're privately provided or public provided, the fact is, in all major cities, they form part of the transport system.
We have a devolved system of government here. We have a policy that is for Belfast and for the cities of Northern Ireland, devised by a local minister. That minister may have looked at Birmingham, Manchester or Berlin, for all I know, but came
Dublin.
Up with a policy.
Dublin,
and that policy
Dublin.
Makes sense.
Sorry, we can discuss all of this. Hold on a second. We can discuss all of this in a moment or two, but we have jumped over the top line of our story this morning, which is, what on earth is the point? Asking the public have enough to do in their lives, looking after their kids, getting to work, paying their bills, doing all of that stuff. You know, what is the point of the Department of Infrastructure asking for a public consultation if they're going to do this anyway?
Well, the only point is that at least people who are lobby groups concerned for cyclists, people like myself, can put in our opinion, and then when we see that we are,
then they do it anyway.
We'll be ignored, and if we are ignored, then at least we have the callback. At least we have the argument there with the proof that public opinion is entirely disregarded here. You know, that is the only thing. The only thing, you can jump through the hoop for them. And then you can at least afterwards see that you made the effort and it was worthless.
Have you ever heard, and I guess I'm asking all of you this morning listening to this, have any of you ever heard of a department saying that they're going to proceed with something before the consultation is over?
Well, so, I have. Could I answer as part of that?
Yes.
Recently, about 3 years ago, there was a major change in the taxi laws. They increased fines and so on and so forth. The point of the matter was there was a consultation document. Yes, and I don't disagree. The civil servants went out and did what they wanted to do. That was already pre-planned, that's the way they wanted it to happen. It did fall on one thing. They had said from 2006, during the consultation, that there would be a one-tier taxi system. What did we end up with from civil servants? Four different types of taxi. So, yes, the consultation seems to be a complete waste of time.
You get the impression, I mean, and Stormont has done this before, the executive has done this before, where they've said, oh, we'll have a review of this, we'll put this out to consultation. And it's merely kicking the thing down the road. It's merely trying to draw the steam out of an issue. We saw the example that comes to my mind is the abortion issue. When David Ford wanted to put forward legislation to allow for abortion in cases of fetal abnormality or life-limiting conditions, whatever. And essentially, Stormont saw, or the DUP and Sinn Féin saw, an election coming, and they said, OK, we'll put this out to a review, we'll have a consultation on this, and then we'll come back in a few
months. Well, they would say that they were genuinely asking the public for
let me rephrase it this way. Much of the media analysis at that time, and much of the criticism coming from other parties, made the point, or aired the view, that what was really happening here was that an issue that would be difficult at the time of an election was simply being kicked down the road. So
Maliki, is there a Sir Humphrey's attitude with amongst these civil servants?
I think that essentially the civil service are in a very difficult position. I mean, I don't, you know, I have a certain amount of sympathy with them. But I mean, what they are doing in terms of the decision to allow bus lanes to be open to taxis seems to have been taken by the Infrastructure Minister, Chris Hazard, in a meeting with Paul Maskey, and without officials being present, in contradiction of a policy that had been going years before. And that decision is now being upheld by civil servants who don't have the legislative power, or you know, who won't have the don't answer to a democratic system in any way, and simply are rubber stamping something that was decided in such
a
way.
Can I just read?
If they go back and if they look at the broad trajectory of thinking within government about how you use bus lanes and how you design the city, you should not be endorsing a decision that was taken so.
Would you also, again, the person involved in the transport system was not for no particular reason involved in the Dublin system at one time. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was brought up to do that integrated transport system here. Now, that comes back to my original question, that major cities include taxis in it, but the consultation factor was normally done with big companies. I, as a humble taxi driver down the food chain, I'm on today because big companies don't want to come on the radio.
And big companies benefiting from this big time.
They don't. It's the drivers out in the street, really, Stephen.
Yeah, of course the big companies don't benefit. Of course they don't.
It's okay.
Of course the big taxi companies don't benefit from the fact that you're going to have a priority lane and their drivers, from whom they gain profit, might be more popular with a customer now than someone getting on a bus.
Well, the system doesn't work on a commission basis except for Uber.
The whole reality of this is that the new glider system, which is supposed to go down some of those lanes, are now going to be the buses in the glider system are now going to be impeded by private hire taxis and the public consultation about what they think about that, how they think about the department considering putting these taxis into those lanes. Well, let me just read to you what the department has said, and you tell me whether you think they've already made their mind up before they're asking the public to feed in. Quote, the proposed trial will be undertaken as an experimental traffic control scheme, which, as permitted by legislation, will come into force initially for 6 months and be extended to the proposed 12 months. So they're already saying it will be extended to 12 months, despite the legislation saying, well, look, you can only enforce this for the first 12 months. They're already telling you they're going to do it for 12 months, and then they go even further than that. While legislation would permit a further extension to 18 months, the 12-month trial time period will allow data to be collected on seasonal traffic flows and any other in-year effects. Does that sound like a department that is sitting back in a neutral way and saying, well, let's see what the public are thinking about this? John and Lisburn. Morning, John.
Good morning. I was just wondering, saying taxis are private companies working for a profit, are we going to allow delivery men and the white van men to use the bus lanes? Like, they haven't all day to be stuck in traffic either. Are we going to allow truck drivers to use the bus lanes? Are you going to allow me to use it?
No.
I'm a busy man too.
No, you're not special
enough.
Why do
taxis get preferential treatment in everything?
There's
the last thing you need in a bus lane is to go by a chicane sitting with hazard lights on.
So what are you delivering, John?
Well, you'll be delivering anything.
What does he deliver?
Parcels, you know, you could be delivering, but sure, I don't know what's in them.
Are you going to take part in the consultation?
Sorry?
Are you going to take part in the consultation?
Well, sure, now you've just said that's a waste of time. The decision's already made. The big taxi companies have won the day again.
Sean and Laganeel, morning to you, Sean.
Morning, Steve.
Go ahead,
point to Mulligan. Well, he says taxis are a private enterprise. There are loads of private bus companies in Northern Ireland are permitted to use the bus lanes. To be a taxi driver, you have to have a PSV license. That is a public service vehicle license. For your taxi to operate, it has to be PSV, public service vehicle.
Thank you for that, Sean. I mean, I don't take that as a correction as such. I mean, still, the taxi companies are private companies. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you aren't a service to the public or that the public don't value and appreciate that service. You are. But I think John's point earlier, before he scuppered it with his slander, was to say, you know, that where do you draw the line? You know, if you're going to say that taxis can get into bus lanes, then why not delivery people? Why not doctors in a hurry? Why not anybody? Why not journalists, for goodness sake?
But Malachi, would you not say that where other major cities have already done that system?
No, Ken, you keep back to this other major cities. In one sense, I'm not prepared for the argument because I haven't done the research that you have, so you've caught me out there. But actually, I do make the argument that we have devolution in Northern Ireland. We had a brilliant minister on this, Danny Kennedy, who devised a policy for this city. And therefore, and he has done his research. He's been, I mean, I had a conference just a few years ago where he brought over the mayor of Copenhagen to show how cycling was managed there. So the work was done and the research was done and a policy was developed with a huge amount of research and commitment that you would clean up Belfast, that you would have a healthy city with a free flow of traffic, and you would reduce dependency on the car through advanced public transport and bicycles. And then to come along after having done all that work and say, oh, we might as well let taxis into bus lanes as well. Yeah, that's ludicrous. I mean, that was a whole policy worked out for years, overthrown in a moment. You know, it was daft. And
this
it
is
should
also,
not have been allowed.
This is also, hold on. This is also about scrutinising the power of the civil service at the moment. So, you know, because we don't have government, the civil service are even more powerful than they usually are. So there needs to be checks and balances on the civil service that they are sticking completely to the rules. For example, if you look at the consultation that you're all being asked to feed into, it references a six-month window. So they're telling the public, look, we want you to give your opinion on this happening for 6 months, while actually they're doing it for 12 months. They've already said they're doing it for 12 months. So even the consultation that they're putting in front of the public is not the whole story. Now, where does that end? If the civil service start doing that, where does that end if it's something a lot more important than bus lanes? Well, why in the consultation are they not referencing a six-month window, but also then saying, we're going to do this for 12 months? We intend to do this for 12 months. They're not telling people that. And that's important. And why are they not telling people that?
Well, where they hit the buffers before was through the process of judicial review, and that could happen. And where they could hit it again in this is because it is such a serious thing that if you're introducing fast taxis into cycle lanes, then sooner or later, God forbid, but you're going to get an accident, you know. And who wants to be the civil servant that rubber stamped some stupid policy, ill thought out like this, that led to somebody losing their life on the road? You know, that is the possibility of that. That is the irresponsibility of this thinking. So I would hope that they're you know, I'm not in a position to take a legal challenge, but I would hope that this would be thought about again. Yeah. This is a charade when we're saying, oh, well, give us your opinion on this, put this out to consultation, but we'll do it anyway.
Well, there's consultations before, as I say, in our industry and other things such as I would be involved in. But certainly, you're right, there's that Sir Humphrey attitude where the civil servants know better than the plebs.
And Ken, you don't want taxis going down bus lanes with bicycles in front of them.
And by the way, Malachy,
if you read the guidelines on cycling, the government
Malachy,
guidelines
on cycling. If you take that this logical conclusion, a bus with 100 or 80 people in it coming along behind a bicycle, the trip is no advantage.
Well, usually the bicycle will be behind the bus, in my experience.
If you come down, now I have my full bus license, free bus pass, and I use the buses regularly. I have been on the bus going down. There's somebody in front of me who's a not a cyclist like yourself, but rides a bicycle. There's a difference in the middle of the bus lane, and the bus goes at 2 miles an hour behind him.
Well, it's not 2 miles an hour. A cyclist is probably going
4 miles an hour. Then
20 miles an hour.
No, you're a cyclist. I'm saying a fellow riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
In fairness, now there's a difference in my opinion. People who guys who do cycle properly. This guy may neither have a helmet or anything else, and he has a bicycle going down the middle of the road. That bus with 80 people on it instead of a taxi with one still hits the same problem.
Well, cyclists don't want to be in bus lanes either. Cyclists want their own cycle lane.
Do you
want
to bet?
I can see that there are problems
like
with that.
Like Park Road?
Here's Peter next. Morning, Peter.
It is pretty appalling.
Morning, Peter.
Hello. The point I'd like to make is what Malachy's saying there. I don't know what... The talk about, you know, TransLink putting millions in, but the two big companies in Northern Ireland invest millions as well. I pay £500 out a week to be a privilege to be in a taxi driver, which is my own choice. You know, I go about doing my hours. If they use a bus lane, we use them. If we don't, we don't. But at the end of the day, TransLink don't seem to want any competition from anybody. They're run by the government. You know what I mean? These are companies are using their own money where TransLink's run. I'm sitting here sleeping on the Malone Road, and there's three buses went by me, double deckers with two people on it, and they're talking about pollution. What does a double decker bus do? You know what I mean? See if anybody wants to use a bus lane like yourself, go and do a PSV test. Go and get the car PSV'd, and then go and pay £4.
What are you on about, Peter? This has nothing to do with how much you pay as a taxi driver and you're paying your £500 a week or whatever. This is about a public transport system and what is fair to everybody. It doesn't matter if you're paying £50 a week or £1,000 a week. It's about the principle of the government telling us that public transport is so important that we're pumping millions of pounds of public money into it, and now they're giving priority to private companies.
Well, are we going to be like a few other problems we'll have here? You can do it in England, you can do the bike lanes and the bus lanes in England, but you can't do them in Northern Ireland, so we're going to be sort of doing them between our people. pick a game, all right, you can be in England and they are.
It's called devolution.
You can't.
It's called devolution.
No, it doesn't, Stephen, because what Malagi's on there. Malagi, what kind of money does it come a toothpick bring into Belfast investing? How much money?
When you say invest, what is the what difference is there between your investment in getting a PSV license and a private motorist investment? When they buy a car, they've paid tax on it. They get insurance on their car. They're paying tax on it. Every time they put petrol into the car, they're paying tax on it. What's the difference? The road tax they're paying as well.
What does a bike do?
No, I'm not talking about a bike. I'm talking about a private motorist.
Well, we pay extra. We have to do tests and everything else.
We have to do tests. Private motorists have to do tests. What's the difference?
The difference is half of them wouldn't pass the PSV test. That's what the difference.
No, that's not. That is not a coherent argument for why you should be allowed in a bus lane and someone else, a doctor going to hospital, shouldn't.
Well, I would like to ask Malagi.
No, let's stick on this point. So why should a taxi driver be allowed to use the bus lane when a nurse going to our hospitals in the morning cannot?
Because the benefit is for the customer.
How is it for a customer if the taxi's empty?
Well, Stephen, they're not always empty.
No, they'll not always be empty. But the rules allow you to drive up and down the road 24 hours a day, whether you have anyone in your taxi or not. How's that fair?
Well, there is a advantage of the cyclists have over us.
No, I'm not talking about cyclists, and we're going to stick with the motorist. How is it fair?
It's fair because we pay and we do a license.
So the motorist pays too. The personal motorist pays too. Why is the Department of Infrastructure favouring a scheme that benefits private companies? Why are they doing it?
Because we're part of them, and that's their rules, and that's
you're not part of them. You're not part of the Department of Infrastructure. You're a private company.
No, we're not, Stephen.
Can I pass one comment there, Stephen?
Yes, Ken.
The Department of Infrastructure dictate the prices to taxis. Does that not make them part of the structure? They dictate a maximum amount of money we can charge for a fare.
Well, you're regulated, but you're still a profit-making. Well, I hope you're a profit-making organisation for your own.
Tell me another regulated price transport system in Northern Ireland. The buses aren't regulated.
This can be looked at all you like, but we can summarise it really easily. The legislation allows for a 6-month trial. The Department of Infrastructure are already saying they're going to do it for 12 months. What is supposed to be a check and balance in this country? Is it the public are genuinely consulted about things? The Department of Infrastructure are essentially saying they're going to do this anyway.
But even when ministers
for up to a year and a half, but definitely for 12 months. Now, why are they so intent on doing this? Why? And where is their respect for the citizen in this?
And why, when it is such a radical reversal of all policy to date? That's the amazing thing in this. This was, you know, people are talking about, this was about a greener city. This was about clean air. This was about health. This was about reducing the flow of traffic in the city. And then suddenly it's about letting taxis run down the bus lanes, jeopardising cyclists. And
can I make one more
system.
Point?
Yes, Ken. Peter, yes.
I'd like to ask, we're going on there about Mali's going on about the safety of taxis come behind bicycles and buses. But what about when you come down to a traffic light there and a cycle pulls up the side and a red light and drives on to it or mounts a footpath?
Completely different argument. Completely different argument.
Safety, Stephen.
Right, here's Claire next. Morning, Claire.
Well, good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Claire.
I was wondering, what's the stop the likes of you and me, Stephen, or, you know, some other person with a couple of pounds in their pocket going and getting the PSV licence and then we can just drive about the bus lanes all day?
How do you feel about this, Claire?
Well, I just got the bus in to work there, and actually I'm 10 minutes late. I still haven't made it to work, you know, and it's not the fault of the bus lanes but as such, but, you know, it's a good thing that they're there.
And do you feel that...
If there's going to be any person who's got enough money to get a PSV licence driving about in these lanes, then, you know, there's nothing going to stop me being, you know, I'm much later for work every day.
So would this put you off using public transport?
Well, if I'm sitting in the bus and you've got a whole pile of nice big Jags and and Audi's all sitting there in front of us and we're not getting anywhere, then what's the point in getting the bus?
Winston in Belfast. Morning, Winston.
Hello, Stephen. How you doing?
Go ahead, Winston.
Just listen to your man there, Malachy Dougherty, whatever you call him.
Malachy.
Yeah, boy.
Malachy O'Dougherty. It's not Malachy Dougherty. Malachy O'Dougherty.
Who does he to come on the radio and tell taxi drivers they can't drive in bus lanes? Do you realise we pay to be certified as a public service vehicle? Why doesn't Belfast City Centre do the same like they do in Krakow? They close off the city altogether and they have 4 drop-off points. When he says about this is all about creating clean air, do you ever see the crap that comes out of a bus when it takes off? And there's why so many buses around the town every day. There's three amounts of taxi drivers that risen in Belfast and Dublin, and they're up and down the bus lanes, and it doesn't cause no problems. So what's he talking about? And he said he's got on there about cyclists, but he's not one himself, so he's talking rubbish.
He is one himself. I've seen him in his Lycra. Let's let him speak to you.
Yo.
Go on, Malachy.
Born again cyclist.
Ken. Go on, Malachy.
Yeah. I'm not the one who's legislating to say that taxis shouldn't be in bus lanes. I'm calling the government to account on the policy it set out itself. The fact is that the policy was to make Belfast a free-flow city, reduce the flow of traffic, increase the dependency on public transport, and increase cycling. That was a policy which was thrown away. I sympathise with you as a taxi driver. I think, you know, you have a hard enough time, and you have poor enough returns on the work that you do, and you work very long hours, and on the rest of it. But essentially, if town planning is to have any sense to it at all, then you make a policy and you stick with the policy. And the policy was that bus lanes were for buses and bicycles. And bicycles temporarily, because there's a plan for the longer term to have proper cycle lanes.
Well, here, Malachy.
Let's bring in Jeff.
You nailed it on the head there. You make people more dependent on the public transport. So you'll create a situation where if you want to get to work, you have to get on his bus, i.e. get rid of the taxis. You nailed it right in the head.
It's government policy.
It's about emissions as well. It's about pollution in cities.
Winston, hold on. Stop, mate. Winston, listen. It is public policy to encourage people to get onto the buses. What the Department of Infrastructure is now doing, is that not contrary to what the whole thrust of public policy was?
Can I ask Malachy a question?
No, hold on. I'm talking to Winston. Winston, you're still there?
Yes, I am indeed. Go ahead.
Right. Well, take a wee breath. Calm down. We'll come back after the news.
Go for it.
Right, Winston, you're still there. Malachy O'Tocherty's here. Ken Kelly's here. Jeff Gazzard, the environmentalist, joining us now. Good morning to you, Jeff.
Morning, Stephen.
You see, here's
what a discussion.
Yeah, but it's not just... This is not just about an environmental policy and a discussion around it. This is about when people in power in this country decide to do something, and what about what the people think? This actually goes up to the head of the civil service, to David Stirling, and people like him at a senior level in the civil service. What is the thinking behind them deciding they're going to do this no matter what for 12 months? What if there is a public outcry?
Clearly there's an issue here where the civil servants believe that they need, as they're telling us, and you've highlighted quite correctly, they actually need a 12-month study period.
Yeah, they are saying that. They say the department's technical report on the 12-week trial, that happened before, and the minister approved that before. Concluded in part that the 12-week trial was not long enough to provide robust data for a study of this nature. The proposed trial will be undertaken as an experimental traffic control scheme, which, as permitted by legislation, will come into force initially for 6 months and be extended to the proposed 12-month period. While legislation would permit a further extension to 18 months, the 12 months trial time period will allow data to be collected on seasonal traffic flows and any other in-year effects.
It's that any other effect that is significant. Because what you're doing is you're putting vehicles, if you go and look at your average taxi, including in Belfast, you'll find the exhaust pipe is near the pavement, usually on the left-hand side of the car, the fuel tank's on the other side of the car, the right-hand side of the car. What you're doing is you're shifting 4,500 plus vehicles, potentially. That's a queue of vehicles, if they all turn up at once, which they won't, of 10 or 11 miles, into bus lanes, right alongside pedestrians, office workers, and everybody who walks around Belfast city centre. Now, it may be that the department, because I would certainly do this, they're talking to their public health colleagues about putting air quality sampling in, diffusion tubes to match up the existing networks that's there, and looking over this 6 to 12 month period at what pollution effects they are. Because I've got to tell you, most taxis in Belfast are diesel. We, as a nation, including Belfast and including taxis, have policies in place to try and switch to both hybrid and all-electric cars. Here's my offer to taxi companies. I would support an electric or a hybrid taxi with four passengers or three or four passengers in, i.e. more than two, to be able to use bus lanes. Not in the rush hours, however. I would support that because I think that's an advance. The trouble is that what we've got is a multifaceted discussion here. Taxi drivers do pay extra. They pay for a criminal background check. That's right and proper. They pay for a test that tests their geographical knowledge of their city. That's right and proper. Some people say in this era of sat-nav, that's not necessary, but I don't believe that to be the case. So we need legislation for all vehicles which operate in the public sphere. And taxis, to that extent, are a public service.
Okay.
But there's a hierarchy here. And the hierarchy is that bus lanes are in place for buses. They reduce car dependency.
Not anymore.
Well, I'm not sure that that's what the consultation says. It appears to be a draconian rubber stamping policy, but I think that's maybe an unfortunate use of words.
But here's what I want to know, Jeff.
Yes.
Okay? If this is about the if they are trialling this to gather data to try to establish what the best use of our roads is, okay?
Yeah.
How much thought went into, rather than taxis being allowed in these lanes, motorists being allowed in these lanes if they're car sharing?
Well,
how much thought went into that? Why are they not trialling that for a while well?
They could try that on the motorway and the A road network. It's not something you can really do in a city centre.
Why are they not doing it?
You'll have to ask them that. But certainly, that's not really something high-occupancy vehicle lanes that you would do in a city
centre. So what we have at the moment, it's dead simple. And Winston, I promised to let you come back. It's dead easy. You can tiddle and whittle up a bus lane to your heart's content 24 hours a day if you're on your own, or maybe you're bringing someone to the local wine lodge to get a bottle of vodka. But if there's a nurse or a doctor or a care worker trying to dart around the city in rush hour, they've got to sit in the ordinary traffic lane. Is that fair? Why is the department not considering this? Why is this a done deal?
Well, your man Hazard is trying to fix the problem, but he's more or less saying, I haven't got the data in front of me to make a proper decision. I'm going to give it a 12-month trial and we'll see what happens. So at the meantime, that's what his decision is. For Mullaghy or Donaghy, come on here and say, I'm calling him up on that. Like, he's nobody. That's the minister's decision. So, Mullaghy, he's going to implement this for 12 months, and I'll see you back here in 12 months on the Nolan Show. Okay, sport? Slant.
Slant to yourself. But, I mean, what we have done is we've invested this huge amount of money, I can't remember the figure, in a rapid transport system that is going to increase the flow of traffic. It's been planned for years. I remember Conor Murphy talking about this over 10 years ago, and we don't know what else is going to be on that lane. We've invested in the buses, we've invested in the infrastructure, we've invested in the new stops and all the rest of it, and we've invested in the whole branding of the thing, and we don't know what obstructions are going to be in front of those buses, in the bicycles, the taxis, and whatever. And we don't know who else will have a special pleading case that they should be allowed as well. In other words, we are already at an advanced stage of clogging up a system that hasn't even got underway yet.
I
see the statement in here from TransLink. High-quality public transport is vital for Belfast to move more people to public transport, reduce congestion and improve air quality. The bus and glider services in Belfast are set to benefit from quality bus corridors. Well, how much quality, TransLink? many taxis are going to be sitting in front of your lovely glider buses. They say these buses will have priority at traffic signals, facilitating fast, frequent and reliable services. Really, so the traffic signals will be prioritised now too, not just for the buses now. So now the taxis, when they drive up to one of these lights, is it going to change for them if they're sitting behind a bus?
And here's another thing.
We're aware of this experimental trial scheme, they say, regarding the use of private taxis in bus lanes, and we will await the findings from the trial to assess the impact on public transport.
And something you've talked about before, Stephen, the government guidelines are that you need 2 metres of space for a bicycle. Bicycle in front of the bus needs to be at least a metre out from the curb and needs to have a metre, and any vehicle overtaking it has to leave it a metre of space. So the vehicle overtaking, the taxi or the bus overtaking the bicycle on the bus lane has to go out 2 metres from the curb to make room for the bus. That is the government guideline. That's on the government website that I was just checking this morning. So we have devised this whole system and we've branded it and spent a huge amount of investment on it, and already we see various ways in which it's just going to be
fucked up. Do you know the other extraordinary thing? I'm just seeing this TransLink statement. They're offering no view whatsoever. Are they going to feed into this consultation? They're going to wait to see what the trial is in public transport. TransLink is promoting these glider buses. Do they think taxis being allowed in the lanes is a good or bad thing? TransLink got any view on this? Here's Jim in Ballybean. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning.
Stephen, just how funny this is. Somebody said about doctors using it. Certainly doctors could use it. They could be supplied with a blue lamp with a magnetic base that would stick to the roof, and it would be powered through the old cigarette lighter in the car. That's one thing. Secondly, have the police made any input to this? Because some of the new bus stops are at very, very dangerous parts of the road. That's another point. Now, I give you a real good scenario. At the moment, Ballybean is serviced by double-decker buses. You get on the bus in Ballybean, if you're going to the City Hall, and the bus takes you to the City Hall. Now Ballybean is going to be serviced by little buses that are going to go around and collect the people in Ballybean, and then they're going to have to go to Park and Ride, and get off the bus at Park and Ride, and get on one of these new shuttle buses. So that'll add extra time to the people in the morning going to work. So it hasn't been very, very well thought of, to be honest. But it's like everything else. Somebody makes a decision, you'll do as I tell you, and that's it. Now, there is another point. You have to have your ticket before you board these new buses. The driver doesn't issue a ticket. So what happens to the person who has one of those passes? What does he do?
I have no idea. No idea.
You know, the old people now are being pushed to one side because it's very, very hard for elderly people to get on a bus and get off a bus. So where they only had to get on and off on their journey, now they're going to have to get on, off. I think that's ridiculous. Nobody has thought of the old age pensioners.
Okay.
Nobody.
Jim, thank you very much indeed. Malachy, can I just put this final point to you? Is there anything to stop now, once this kicks in, is there anything to stop value cabs and phone-a-cab and the big taxi companies that are around Northern Ireland putting up massive billboards throughout the city basically saying, we've got priority for you now. We can get you to work faster. Would there be anything to stop value cabs, phone a cabs, any of those big companies putting up billboards saying, don't use a bus, we'll collect you at the door. We've got a faster use of the roads now.
Well, it would be a very clever thing for them to do. You're planting an evil idea in their minds, Stephen.
What would be to stop them doing that?
Well, there's nothing to stop them to do it.
Don't stand in the rain in a bus stop.
Yeah.
We'll pick you up at the door and we'll do everything a bus can do.
Yeah, we'll get you down the bus lane faster than the bus will. You know, no, it's a commercial advantage for them to be able to use the bus lanes in that way. And they'll obviously make use of that commercial advantage. My fear is that a decade of thinking about transport policy is just overturned as if it matters for nothing. And my fear also is that when you have congested bus lanes with fast taxis coming down them and you have cycles on them, then you're going to get an accident. And they will be backed in this programme, and that'll be the peg of the story. And we'll be going over this all again and remembering just what a stupid policy it was and how idiotically it was this was brought in and with what little consideration it was brought in. And that's maybe where we'll be in a year from now.